Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the second day of November, Anno Domini 2019, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. Yes. First, let us start by saying, yes, Steve Ray is late. He's on a mission of mercy, but he'll be here as soon as he possibly can. Yay that he's on a mission of mercy. Yay that he'll be here as soon as he can, or yay that he's not here at all. Yeah. Yes.
One thing we definitely got to do, though, and people will notice this. Well, there's actually two things. One, it's going to daylight savings time. So you're going to gain an extra hour of sleep. And second of all, you don't hear us begging, and we're still here.
Yes. We want to thank each and every one of you who was so kind and so generous during our recent pledge drive. We reached our goal of $60,000, which means that Rob had a good night's sleep for the first time in quite a while. And and we're very, very happy, and thanks to each and every one of you who was kind enough to contribute. Now, I noticed that as of last night, at least, all of the benefits, all of the gifts are still available if you donate. So for those of you who forgot,
you still can,
but meant to, you still can. And you can scroll down and do it under the Soundbites thing at jazz901.org. Hit that Donate Now button and you're on your way. But thanks to each and every one of you. We appreciate that. And this is my new Chromebook. Look how tiny those bezels are. It's nice. I've got a Chromebook Acer Flip.
That thing is CT. So thin.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable. What's the hour battery life on that?
10. When the battery's working right. It's also the fact that I just got this a day ago. And it just may be the battery isn't
fully charged.
Fully charged, or well, I'd fully charge it, but it may not be. What do they call it? Acclimated.
Acclimated. Yeah.
Yeah. What I was saying to Dave earlier, it's the Asus Flip C434TA, whatever all that all means, and it turns into a tablet.
Look at that. Flips around?
Yeah. It's pretty
sweet.
Nice. It's pretty nice.
Can you use a pen with it?
Oh, yes.
Stylus pen?
Stylus or your finger.
Ooh.
You get to choose. Yeah, it's very cool.
And it runs apps.
And it runs Android apps, and it'll run the beta Linux stuff, which I'm looking forward to playing with. But first, I got to solve the battery issue. I'm going to do a power wash and see if that updates the firmware. And it takes like 4 minutes to...
Well, I was going to say, if you just got it, depending on when that was manufactured, I can guarantee you it hasn't been updated.
Well, right. It's brand new. It's brand new as of, I think, April this year. But even so, there could easily have been a firmware update.
Oh,
it did update the operating system at least once, you know, to the one, whatever the newest one is.
It's Chrome.
Yeah, it's Chrome. So I'm very happy with it. It's got 8 gig of RAM, 64 gig of storage. It's also got a 64 gig SD micro SD card in there. It's fast. It's got a Core M3 eighth gen processor, and it's going to get 5 years of updates from Google. So I'm very pleased. June 2024 is when it's done. So yeah, I'm very, very pleased.
That is nice.
It's a nice Chromebook. It's fast. It's clean, and I really, really like it. We'll see. The only thing I don't particularly care for is that I can't seem to turn off the backlighting. I can turn it off manually. I can't. There doesn't seem to be a setting that says no mas.
Well, hold on. You know, somebody might come up with an app.
Well, that's right. I haven't looked for any of that yet because, like I said, I just got it Friday.
And
so.
Especially if you're going to power wash it, no sense.
That's exactly right. No sense doing anything to until you know, do that.
Yeah, there might be an app somebody already wrote.
There may be an app for that.
Quick click on it and turns it off.
Yep. At any rate, we want to thank everybody who called in and pledged. Welcome to the Soundbites family. Welcome to the Jazz 90.1 family. I apologize that we're not on YouTube yet. Steve will be here when he's here. But we are on the stream. We are on the air. So it's all pretty good. And here comes the news. October, which we're talking, of course, about Microsoft's October patches. Be very, very quiet. We're patching. October.
They got more patches than pumpkins in a pumpkin patch.
Hey, you ain't kidding. October started in the cellar with a third time attempt at patching the IE0 day that nobody needed, but the situation has gradually improved for certain select values of improved. Get the October patches installed, but watch out for a handful of known cow pies. If you had automatic update turned on at the beginning of October, you may have gotten clobbered with a bug-infested, well, you did get clobbered with a bug-infested out-of-band update for an IE-related zero-day vulnerability that never actually appeared in real life. Later in the month, with those automatic updates, those with automatic updates turned on were treated to a wide assortment of bugs, start and search fails, RDP redlines, older Visual Basic program blasts, only some of which were solved with the month's final optional non-security patches. It's now time to install those October patches, now that it's November. Here's how to get your system updated the relatively safe way. First, and this is not optional, make a full system image backup before you install the latest patches. There is a non-zero chance that the patches, even the latest, greatest patches of patches of patches, will hose your machine. Best to have a backup that you can reinstall, even if your machine refuses to boot. This is in addition to the usual need for system restore points. There are plenty of full image backup products, including at least two good free ones, Macrium Reflect Free and EaseUS To Do Backup. You can find all of those on the, well, that's interesting. I don't know what I clicked on. You can find those on soundbites.org. I'm apparently living in some future place. AskNick.com/backup.php. AskNick.com/backup.php. And that will give you for Linux, Mac, Windows, Android, and iOS a list of backup programs that are both free and cost money, and what they do and what they are worth, and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And links to all of them. So make a full image backup. And in fact, both Macrium Reflect and EaseUS To Do Backup are listed on that page. If you're running Windows 10, I'll put that on the link at some point, but not right now. If you're running Windows 10 version 18.03, don't feel bashful about sticking with it. Microsoft's last security patch from 18.03 is scheduled to arrive on November 12th, but you will have about another month after that before the disappearing patches may start to hurt. Of course, the patches themselves often hurt. So if you're running Windows 10 version 18.09, you should start thinking about moving to 19.03. Microsoft has issued rivers of patches for 19.03 in recent months, and 19.03 may be approaching some semblance of stability. Well, at least the first, but not the second October cumulative update. We still have a couple of unresolved errors with that one. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is installing the Win10 October patches should be safe. Your choices are, I did, and it's fine. I did and had a few issues. I did and had problems. I've been waiting for the all clear. You Windows people amuse me. And other. And of course, if you pick other, then you should go into the forums. And you can get to the forums by scrolling down on the right. And under fascinating stuff is the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the number one item under poll discussion is 2 November 19. Installing the Windows 10 October patches should be safe. And it is once again, by the way, safe to give us a call because we're no longer pledging. It's just your questions at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. I am thrilled to say we already have 289 votes in the poll.
Sweet.
Yeah. Since
people
we restarted it, we were getting, 20, 30 votes in the poll. Mm-hmm. Since we restarted it, we're getting, we had 2 weeks that were under 100, but all the other weeks have been over. So we're very pleased you've been doing that. So please vote in the poll. We've got votes from all over the country. We've got them from Ireland. We've got them from Canada. So we're very pleased. We're very honored that people are voting in the poll. I like to see that. I was getting kind of discouraged that people didn't much care about the poll anymore. But now it seems that it's
no, they just
okay.
They had to get themselves back into the habit.
It,
you
get
know,
back
that's
into
the whole
habit.
Thing. You know, they get so complacent.
Right, right.
You know, with it not, being there, and then it's like, yeah, maybe they'll get to it. But then...
Well, but what's weird is it used to be right on the front page because it was an integrated poll.
Right.
Now it's a separate poll. It's not on the front page, and more people are taking it. I'm not going to complain. I'm delighted.
Hey, you can't figure that one out.
Right. I'm delighted.
It is what it is. And, hey, thanks. Keep voting, each week.
Yep.
We like to hear your responses back because it's just good info.
That's right. And like I said, so far, I don't know what just happened. Yeah, so far we've got 290 votes. And number one is I did, and it's fine. About 28%, just over 28% of people voted for that one, followed by I've been waiting for the all clear, followed by you Windows people amuse me. That's all our Mac and Chromebook and Linux people. I did and I had problems. 19 people did other, but I don't think there are 19 things in the forum. And 14 of you did and had a few issues. So, it's Microsoft. Here's the real problem. As we've been saying since two investor phone calls, the investor relations phone calls that Microsoft does every year, every company does mm-hmm. every year, they have a disclosure. That's yep. what it's called, investor disclosure, to their investors. 2 years ago, they said they were going to a subscription model for all their products gradually over time. I honestly don't know that I would pay for a subscription to a product that is as buggy in updates as Windows is. I just
to try to even ask for it. Really? I mean, who's gonna say, "Oh yeah, I want to sign right up for that"?
Yeah,
and yeah, you bricked my machine. You've done this update or that update and totally messed everything up on it. Oh yeah, that's real good incentive. Unlike if we were to go back to Windows 7.
Yeah.
Windows 7, from day one until the day they retired it, is rock solid.
Well, there's two reasons for that. One is it's a simpler product. But the other reason is that back then, Microsoft was doing testing correctly.
Mm-hmm.
They had rooms full of machines. They had rooms full of people. They had lots of different hardware. They had lots of different hardware hooked to lots of different hardware. They were able to test all kinds of things. Now, every single test environment at Microsoft is a virtual machine, which means they're all identical.
Mm-hmm.
So the good news if you're running Windows in a virtual machine, it's probably going to run pretty darn perfectly, assuming it's identical to the virtual machine they're using at Microsoft. Anything else has simply not been tested for.
Yep.
So I don't know how they call it quality control or quality assurance or whatever the buzzword is this year. I don't know how they call it quality assurance when they cannot assure quality.
You think?
It's really gotten to the point where
yeah, they've got a quality of messing the machines up.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I mean, they're doing pretty consistent on that. Let's give them that. You know, they're consistent on at least that phase of it, that they can mess it up really fine. Thank you very much.
So if you have not done a full image backup of your system, that's a good project for this weekend. Just start it up, get that extra hour of sleep while it's worrying. And
well, that's the thing. You can start it tonight. You know, start it just before you go to bed. You're setting the clocks back an hour anyways. Remember, you fall back.
Right.
So you're setting the clocks back an hour. So it's an hour longer that it can take while you're sleeping.
That's right.
By the time you get up, you know, there's 9 hours. If you get 8 hours sleep, 9 hours that it's been doing the backup, and it should be all set. And you will be thanking us down the road if something happens that you can at least go back to that backup and recover your machine.
That's right. In fact, you should do that with every one of your machines. If you have a Mac or a Linux machine, you should do that. If you have a Chromebook, there is a program called Chromebook Recovery. Difficult name to remember. And what it does, it recovers your Chromebook. It's called Chromebook Recovery. You download it. It's an app. You just install the app from the Chrome Web Store and run it. And it says, here's the part I do not understand. Well, okay. What happens is when you start it up, it tells you put in the manufacturer's ID for the Chromebook you want to back up.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, oh, by the way, the manufacturer's ID for this Chromebook is blah. So you can just copy and paste it. Why don't they just put it in for you? Because you may want to make a backup image for a different Chromebook. For example, if one of my old Chromebooks dies, and assuming I know the manufacturer's ID, which you should get for all of your machines, it will let you make a recovery CD for that. It's called the model number, and it tells me this is the model number for my machine, or you can select the model from a list, so you don't even have to know that. So you can select the model, and then you make the backup. And I have had to do that to my HP Chromebook, which is the reason I got this new one is because the old one's out of warranty. But I had to do that. It just one day, you know, it's 5-year-old hardware. It's a Chromebook, so I carried it with me everywhere, banged it around.
Oh, you've been using that
for six years actually.
Yeah.
And daily. So, yeah, I'm not really surprised that it had an issue.
It owes you nothing.
What?
It owes you nothing.
It owes me nothing. Absolutely. Not a penny. So what I did was I had made that little SD card,
mm-hmm.
little 4-gig SD card, which those are ridiculously cheap. Now, why wouldn't you take the 10 minutes to do it? Stuck it in there, turned it on, and said, oh, okay, recovery. You want to recover this? Yes, I do. Recovery in progress. And it took a little while. Mm-hmm. And then I had to connect to the network to update everything and blah, 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 blah. But when it was done, my Chromebook was back.
To the way it
was. All because I took 10 minutes when I first got it to make that little recovery disk. So word to the wise and two words to the not so wise, make it. Make that backup recovery thing for whatever your operating system is, for whatever your machine is, whether it's a Windows machine, an iOS device, a Mac OS device, I don't care, a Linux box, your Chromebook, make that recovery disk, that full system image backup, so that you can, at some point, if you have to, restore it. Now, that takes us to backups in general. And like I said, we've got the backup, asknick.com/backup.php. And you can do all kinds of different backups. And that probably should be a different page that I put up on what the various backups are. But you should definitely at least do one full system backup and put it aside.
Well, HP used to, when you first bought their machines, the very first thing that it would do is ask you if you want to do a system backup. And it would tell you how many blank CDs you're going to need. And it would create those initially from you.
Yep, that was beautiful. The problem now, of course, is almost nobody has a CD drive in their system. So, and many machines nowadays don't even have an SD slot.
Hmm?
Oh yeah, a lot of the new machines don't even have that anymore. You can plug something into the USB-C or whatever, but no, the micro SD card, the little
The micro
slot. Yeah. Or a regular SD card.
Even those, you can get 32 gig.
64. I'm running a 64 gigger right in here.
Yeah, it's still not. Yeah, they're all cheap.
Yeah, they're ridiculously
super
cheap.
Ridiculously cheap not to take the time and do it.
And let's get real. Even though they are ridiculously cheap by themselves, compare the cost of that to having to take your machine to somebody to do a complete reinstall for you. Which is cheaper?
Yep.
Steve Ray, ladies and gentlemen.
And I'm Steve Ray.
Well done. Well done. Steve has had... Steve was on a mission of mercy this morning. Did it go well?
Yeah.
Good.
It was only Brockport this time.
Oh, that's not bad then.
Last time it was Utica.
No, not so good.
Time before that, it was Buffalo.
Yeah. So you're getting closer.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Next time, maybe it'll be the next door neighbor.
Yeah.
So Steve is here after his mission to mercy. So he'll be getting the stuff set up for stuff, and it'll be all good. But at any rate, so backups are you don't have enough backups. It says that on the backing up page that I put out. It's the most important lesson I ever learned as a systems administrator. You don't have enough backups. Any one backup will fail. It will fail. So having multiple backups helps you mitigate that problem. So make sure that when you make a backup, first, you don't keep it on your machine. Stop and think. Secondly, having one in your home is great, but having one outside your home is in fact greater. So you want to make sure that you have both of those available to you. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, now with Steve Ray. New, improved Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. Soundbites right here in the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you because we can continue to be member supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
You're on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and Steve Ray has joined us.
Yeah, can we just start over?
Yeah, let's start over. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve. No, I said start the whole thing over.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Good afternoon.
But they can screw up everyone that just started listening.
Oh.
They think the clocks are really wrong.
Yeah. They set their clock back 36 minutes? What the?
And we set the program back.
Right.
We fell back with the program, too.
But, yeah, so we're back, and that means that the Soundbite stream is live. Six people already figured that out.
So we're fix the date.
We're in. I better.
So we're back, and that means that the
And the audio is working because it just started coming out of my iPad.
Yeah, also through my new
computer,
Chromebook.
Yeah. So my new mute everything else. Yeah, I heard that. I was actually listening on the way in.
What?
Yeah. I'm always concerned about those flips because there's wires going through the hinges.
Yeah.
And we've seen enough.
They're pretty interesting hinges, really.
Yeah.
And so
it's not the one that actually rotates, which I worried more about.
Right. I'm very happy with it so far. I've had it a day, so I'm very happy with most of it.
First impression is yeah.
First impressions are good. I like it a lot. As I said, there's a couple of things I'm not happy with yet, but it's early days, and I'm now running it on battery, so we'll see what happens. And there's the show.
Condition the battery. That's what you were trying to think of.
That's the word. Thank you. Yes. So far.
And no matter how loud I yelled, you didn't hear me.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I never listened to you. Who are you again?
Yeah.
I'm Steve Ray. But at any rate, we were talking about backup. You do need to do it. And I've got that on the website now, so you can see that post, and you can back up, and that's that's a reminder. I put
they want you to hold the Chromebook up to the camera.
Oh, do they? How come I'm not seeing it? Oh yeah.
Ooh, no.
Where'd it go?
Yeah. No, wait. This is the live view.
There's the live view. Okay. This is my Chromebook. It's the
Infinite regression.
Yeah.
Picture of a picture. Someone did the math once to figure out how many reflections there are in a mirror because each reflection loses a little tiny bit.
Right. And this is it folded up. And look at those bezels. They're tiny.
Yeah.
They're tiny, tiny little bezels. Oh, and I hit the make me sleep button, which is fine, because now I just boop myself in the nose and it opens up.
Nice.
Well, it's connected to my phone, so as long as my phone is unlocked, my Chromebook can unlock. So that's my new Asus, and somehow the live stream seems to have. You're watching it. My machine. Oh, I see. Because it
went to sleep, so it paused.
Right.
What am I doing with my finger there?
It's whatever that is. It's not good.
Things pause at the most horrible times online.
Yeah. Yes. So thank you, Richard. It is nice. A very nice Chromebook. I'm very pleased with 8 gig of RAM, 64 gig of internal storage. Plus, I've got a 64 gig micro SD card in it. So I'm very happy with all of that. It's very cool. Is this me making this noise?
Yeah.
Yeah, it might have been. Guys, I was hitting buttons as I was doing things. I wasn't paying much attention. And so far, I like it a lot. I've got to condition the battery, I guess. But other than that, it's running on battery power now, and it seems to be doing pretty nicely. So it says I got 8 hours and 13 minutes left. So that's not a bad day. It said 10 hours. 10 hours is what I'm supposed to get, but of course, battery's not entirely conditioned yet. And it will run Android apps, and it will run Linux, which I haven't played with yet, but oh, yes, I will. Yes, I will. And in the meantime, I'll read another news item, and you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Apple is resuming the use of humans to review Siri commands and dictation with the latest iPhone software update. In August, Apple suspended the practice and apologized for the way it used people rather than just machines to review the audio. While common in the tech industry, the practice undermined Apple's attempts to position itself as a trusted steward of privacy. CEO Tim Cook, or if you prefer, Tim Apple, repeatedly has declared the company's belief that privacy is a fundamental human right, a phrase that cropped up again in Apple's apology. Now, Apple is giving consumers notice when installing the update, iOS 13.2. Individuals can choose not now to decline audio storage and review. Users who enable this can turn it off later in the settings. Apple also specifies that Siri data are not associated with the user's Apple ID. Tech companies say the practice helps them to improve their artificial intelligence services, but the use of humans to listen to audio recordings is particularly troubling to privacy experts because it increases the chances that a rogue employee or contractor could leak details of what is being said, including parts of sensitive conversations. Apple previously disclosed plans to resume human reviews this fall, but hadn't specified when. Apple also said then that it would stop using contractors for the reviews, but of course, rogue employees are still a problem. Other tech companies have also begun resuming the practice after giving more notice. Google restarted the practice in September after taking similar steps to make sure people know what they are agreeing to. Also in September, Amazon said that users of its digital assistant, as we call it, Alexa, could request that recordings of their voice commands delete automatically. Notice they don't give you a chance to opt out, but later on you can, after they've been reviewed, you can delete them. That is what it is. So do you still trust your assistant? Give us a call or just talk out loud. We'll hear you. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
Yeah, we were joking about that last night in the office at police are now asking for recordings from all your smart devices when they're investigating a crime. So if someone's ever murdering you, make sure you yell out, you know, "Hey, Alexa, you know, Bill is murdering me."
Right. or if you don't know the person, yell out a description.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're doing that. So there are upsides to that, I guess, upsides. But there are also extreme downsides, and it depends on whether you're more interested in the personal privacy you have a chance at today, or if you prefer whatever. So definitely check to see what's being recorded. As we said, all of them will allow you to delete your recordings. So they will have already been checked by someone, but you can still at least delete them. And both Google and Apple let you opt out. So that's pretty cool.
Your phone is calling Tim Apple.
Why is my calling my phone? Is it, that's my phone?
7247.
It is. It is. Sorry, everyone. My phone had an embolism of some sort. I'm thinking that's what happened there.
You know, what's most annoying is when you want to use your voice assistant for something, it almost never works.
Right.
But then how many times does it work when you don't want it to?
I called my beloved bride from the road today on the way here because something I hadn't told her at market, apparently. And it said, normally I say, blah, 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 call Elaine. And lo, it calls Elaine. This time it said, I need more information to help you with that. How much more information do you need? I need you to call...
Which Elaine?
Elaine. One Elaine.
Which number?
One number. I made sure. It's just Elaine.
No home, no cell, no work. Yeah.
We don't have a home phone anymore.
Yep.
And I have her work number listed as the place.
Something else, yeah.
So.
Mine, a couple times I had to download the phone book to my car.
Again, oh. Yeah.
Because, you know, you call it and it says, can't find in the phone book.
And well, mine's not even in the car. Mine's just the phone. It's hooked up to Bluetooth through the radio speaker, so it's still all happening out of my phone.
Okay.
And it didn't.
But it's not through the car.
Speakers? Yeah, it's not. I don't have I don't have a fancy car. I've got a very simple car, very very simple car. And no, I've got all the contacts are here. My hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of contacts that I never talk to any of them because I don't like people. But, yeah, all my contacts are there. We should probably, we didn't even mention, it's Dia de Muertos, and I apologize for my Spanish is muy malo. And so...
muy poquito.
Muy non-existent.
Yeah.
So, but it is Day of the Dead, and this weekend, and so today's the last day, by the way, of Day of the Dead.
I'm trying to find a picture. One of the guys in the airplane club did a really good makeup, and then came out and flew his plane in makeup.
Nice.
And of course, I don't know what it's indexed under, so I can't find it.
Right.
Although, you know, here's one of our Halloween airplanes. He's got a skeleton flying the airplane.
Nice.
We joked that that's not what he looked like when he went up. Because that's an aerobatic airplane.
Yeah, right.
Through a time warp.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, it is the last day of the Day of the Dead. So that is actually long weekend of the dead.
There he is, Santos.
So you could over to him and say you've been flying long.
Yeah. How big are your fuel tanks?
Yeah.
But at any rate,
at full throttle, I get about 5 minutes. At half throttle, I get about 10 minutes. Yeah, right.
But in terms of the digital assistants, they are a boon to our lives in so very many ways. But they are also many people feel that they are an intrusion on our privacy. And with most of them, you can simply turn them off. And even if you leave them on, at least with Apple and Google, you can opt out of them saving any of the information. Where is it? Thank you very much. All right. And we are going to the phones. Our first caller is Roger from Rochester, New York. Hi, Roger. What's up?
Hey, I got two things. One is a couple of weeks ago, I called you and asked, and you couldn't come up, and I couldn't come up with a name of a... Unix, not Unix, but
Linux under Windows.
It's called yeah.
Linux under Windows, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's Cygwin, Cygwin. It's free. It's out on the net. It works well.
Yeah.
And it installs easily.
Yeah, Cygwin is it has been around a long time, and. I'm embarrassed that I didn't remember the name, but yeah, Cygwin. It's Cygwin.
Right.
It really isn't.
It's not true. But it's not bad either.
You can
do graph and several different things with it.
Right. You can do several things with it. There's also something called I want to say Wubi.
Oh well, they used to teach that at RIT. Ruby.
Yeah, no. WUBI, which I don't know what it stands for.
Okay. That's something else.
That was an Ubuntu installer. It's now discontinued, I guess. That's too bad. Okay. And of course, you can always install, if you've got enough RAM, you can always install a virtual machine.
Right. You can do a whole virtual machine, yeah. And I thought about doing that, but it's. I don't use it that much, but sometimes it's nice to have it. My favorite, of course, is grep, and sometimes that's nice to have.
Right.
And there is a grep, I guess, but I've never had a lot of success trying to compile it in under Windows. There is one, I guess, out there for it. I got one other question. I've got a project, and I'm having a horrible time with it, and that is I'm trying to build a show of MP3 file music, or they're actually old-time radio shows, where I want to cut and paste and stuff. Anybody has any good ideas how to do it? I've looked at several programs, and they all seem quite complicated.
Now, what you're trying to take a bunch of MP3s and turn them into one big MP3?
Plus cut out. Like, I want to do the Dinah Shore show, and I only want to do like 10 minutes of it because it gets old if you listen to a half an hour of it.
Oh, yeah, okay. Have you looked at Audacity?
Audacity?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I looked at GoWave and a couple of the other ones.
Yeah.
All right. I'll try Audacity.
Yeah. Thanks. Audacity is an audio editor.
Free and open source.
Right. It's free. It's open source. It runs on Windows and Linux and Macs and everything that you can boot. And what it'll do is it'll bring up the entire hour of the show, and you can go in and it kind of works like a text editor for sound, because you see the sound wave, and you can say, I want to start here, end here, cut that out, paste it into a new project.
Okay. But Can you play the song while you're in it? The problem is I'm visually impaired. So,
yes, you can.
That's what I've been running into. That's what Go Away did, the same thing. But I just put a waveform out on the screen, and that's very difficult for me to tell where I am and what I'm doing.
Yeah, this lets you play it. This lets you play it and then make and mark it up as you go.
Did you play?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try it.
Yeah,
give
it a shot.
Nothing lost. I appreciate your time.
Good luck.
Good luck with your show.
Thanks.
Sounds good.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye bye. Yeah, I really like Audacity.
It's what I use to edit the podcast.
Yep. I use it to record my computer minutes for this show. And when I put things out on the Amazon product, I use that as well. It's a very good audio recorder and audio editor products. So take a look at it. It's very cool.
And unfortunately, even though Audacity is a 64-bit program, it's not compatible with Catalina yet. So macOS Catalina, the new version, the big caveat is 32-bit programs don't work, period. But there's still some programs that aren't compatible because Apple changed something fundamental under the hood. And so before you upgrade to Catalina, make sure all your programs are compatible. The error message that come, well, Catalina gives you a message before you install that these programs are not optimized for Catalina.
And optimized.
Right. You say, oh, okay, fine.
Right. I don't need them optimized. I got 64 gig of RAM. I got a super high processor.
If it said these programs will not work,
people would pay attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it doesn't find all of the programs, only the major ones it knows. We've had several of the local print shops found out that their printer software is not compatible. And I was talking with the local company that makes large commercial printers. And I said, you should probably send out an email to your customer base not to upgrade to Catalina. And the tech on the phone said, well, yeah, it's on the website.
Yeah, no.
You should probably send out an email to all your customer base.
Yeah. The reality is that people aren't just going to wander into anybody's website for the heck of it.
Especially Apple is getting more like Microsoft in this update mess, too. They're really insistent on pushing these updates out to you. And then the upgrade to something radically different reminded me of the Windows 10 almost forced upgrade. And Microsoft got horrible press and lambasted in the pundits, and Apple is now doing that. It shows up in your list under your update list. You have to notice that it says upgrade, not update.
Right.
And then your computer reboots and none of your programs work because they're not compatible with this radically new version.
That's really kind of horrible.
But you have a backup, right? So you can go back.
Have a backup.
And that's the fix. Erase your computer and restore from the previous backup.
Right. Assuming you've got a backup. The problem is everybody wants the new stuff.
Yeah.
They don't read what it does, and they also don't think, let me just spend a half an hour and back up my machine in case.
Jesus.
I mean, that's all it takes. It's not...
Look over here.
What?
My bobcat. That went a long way.
Steve's throwing things all over the studio now. But yeah, it's a very neglected but monumentally important step. Back up your computer. Again, you'll see at the on the Soundbites website, we have a link that says back up today, and it takes you to that backup page that I created, and you can see what's available for your system. Pretty simple. It's a long process, I get it, but you really need to do it at least once. Like I said, I resurrected a Chromebook because I spent in my case, it took 10 minutes, because it's Chromebook, to use the Chromebook recovery software to create a recovery disk. Well, in this case, it's a micro SD card, but so what? A recovery medium. And it was easy and fast and saved my little butt at one point. So if you get the blue screen of death or the sad Mac or whatever whatever your indicator is that you've got a problem, having that restorable full backup will make you happy. And why not take just an hour of your life to make yourself happy in the future? It's easy enough to do, and it's easy enough to then set it aside and have it available to you and ready to go. So make that backup. Do it today. Do it while you're listening to the second half of the show. Why not? It should take less time than that to make it happen. If you're in your car at the moment, this is why you have a calendar. Set a reminder or a calendar entry for when you're home later today to make a backup of your system.
Hey, Siri, remind me to back up my computer tonight.
Hey, Google, remind me to back up my computer tonight.
Alexa, remind me to back up my computer tonight.
You're right.
Who'd we miss? Did we miss anyone?
Oh, I never...
Bixby.
Nobody uses Bixby. Bixby, remind me to use Google. I never set up Assistant on this Chromebook. That's interesting.
We've only had it a day.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Turn on these settings, app info, contact info. Turn it on. Go. Knock yourself out. That's fine. I want all of that. I agree. My assistant can already recognize my voice. Look at me. I'm done. Very cool. All right. So we're good. Thank you. Bye-bye. But at any rate, the idea is that, as it says on my page, you don't have enough backups. So make another one. Make it today. Make it work for you. And the way you make it work for you is to just make that backup. It's not rocket surgery. You can do it easily. Nothing breaks my heart more than... Oh, I've lost my whole computer. Can you help me get it back? Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to your backup. Oh, I meant to make one.
Yeah. Well, okay. The number of times I'm sure Steve and I have heard that.
And we tell people to back up. We try to sell them a backup drive. They'll even buy the backup drive. And then a month later when their computer crashes, they bring in the sealed drive in the box.
And the other thing you have to remember, and this is true of every system administrator I've ever met, but everybody has to remember that in the back of your head, there should be a little tick, tick, mm-hmm. tick, because it's a computer. It's not if it will die. It is when it will die. These are hardware devices that, remember, are filled with the cheapest components they can get.
And we thought that solid-state drives would be much more reliable than spinning drives, but people have been pushing the capacity and dropping the price. And when you write data to an SSD, it damages it. And it wears out about 20% a year, just the same as a spinning hard drive does.
Right. All right, that music tells me we are done with the first hour of this show. Don't get crazy, because we've got a whole nother hour coming of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We'll have Dave Enright. We'll have a full hour of Steve Ray the next time around. I'm Nick Francesco. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites right here on the Truly Great. And truly grateful to you because we met our goal. And therefore, we can continue to say that we are indeed member-supported Jazz 90.1. Take a bio break. Start your backup. And we will be back with a whole nother hour in just a few minutes.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
On Twitter at 901 Jazz.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites. I wanted to mention, we were talking in the last hour, one of our callers was Roger, and we were talking about ways to run Linux software on Windows. Cygwin, of course, is not actually a way to do that. It's a way to have a kind of Windows sort of environment, a Linux sort of environment on Windows. But if you're running Windows 10, there is WSL, the Windows subsystem for Linux, which we've talked about several times. It allows you to run actual Linux binary executables, if they are in ELF format, natively on Windows 10. So if you are running Windows 10, you can get WSL, install that in your system, and run Linux programs directly in what's now WSL1 was an emulation, and it was it's a word I'm looking for, the technical term, crappy. WSL2, on the other hand, is a real honest-to-heaven Linux subsystem and will actually let you run real Windows programs.
And you enable it with the command line, so you know it's real.
Right. It's a true Linux kernel. Yeah. If you're interested in that, it's WSL, the Windows subsystem for Linux. Make sure you've got version 2. It's been around since 2016, but boy, was it horrible. Truly horrible at first. It was horrible. WSL2 is much better, and lets you run any ELF of formatted Linux executable. So if there's something you particularly care for, or you really want to do real Python programming, that's that's probably your best way to do it. Or even just get a Linux machine. You know, one is, well, if you're going to do it, do it.
Sometimes convenient to have one machine that does everything.
Well, then.
But then usually it doesn't do any one thing well. It does everything a little bit.
Right. Or, well, then get a virtual machine.
Yeah.
Right. And still run a real Linux, which is probably better for you. So, you can also, there is a way to install Linux's bash shell on Windows 10, but I'm not entirely sure I would tell people how to do that. It's not for beginners. All right, I had a lot of Apple news this week, so here's another one. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? Well, some of you Apple product users may not have a choice. Apple is warning owners of older iPhones and iPads that if they don't update their devices to the latest iOS software by Sunday, that's tomorrow, they won't be able to connect to the internet. iPhone and iPad products from 2012 and earlier will need the update before midnight UTC, or Coordinated Universal Time, or what we used to call Greenwich Mean Time for you old people, on November 3rd, which is tomorrow, in order to maintain accurate GPS location, continue to use the App Store, iCloud, email, and web browsing. All this is according to Apple themselves. This is all because of the GPS time rollover issue, according to Apple, something that happens about every 19 years when GPS devices need to reset in order to actually accurately measure time and dates, according to the Office of Electricity at the Department of Energy.
Does that mean they only used a 32-bit register when they put GPS satellites up for the first time?
Well, they're all... No, many of them are 16-bit Intel 8086s. Or
space-hardened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they don't have big registers. Apple said that during the last reset on April 6th, GPS-enabled products from other manufacturers were affected. So if you have an iPhone 5, 4, or a cellular-enabled iPad mini, iPad 2, or third-generation iPad, this is for you. The updated software version number should be 10.3.4 or 9.3.6, depending on your device.
And these are devices that previously did not have any updates available because they'd been the software end of life.
Right. But now they are providing this update, so get it. If you're not sure which version your iPad or iPhone is, follow these directions. Open the Settings app, tap General, then tap About, and look for the number next to Software Version. If it's not 10.3.4 or 9.3.6, you will need to update. If you're not able to update your device before Sunday, Apple said you'll have to back up and restore. Hey, back up again. It's like it's a theme. Back up and restore using a computer because over-the-air software updates and iCloud backup won't work anymore. So don't get lazy. Do it today. Update your devices today because it's a lot easier than trying to do it tomorrow through a computer.
I'm waiting to see how many calls we get on Monday about my old device doesn't work anymore.
Exactly. Is your iDevice up to date? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Look, the reality is, in most cases, Windows 10 being a bit of an exception, keeping up to date with the latest updates is a very, very good idea. In fact, one might say it's a compulsory thing. People don't trust Windows updates. I get that. Believe me, I get that. But other updates you should do, and you should do them regularly. I run Linux, and something updates almost every day, which means it's two clicks. Click, click, and it updates in the background, and I just keep on working. And when it's done, it's three clicks because I have to say, okay, the backup happened. But, it's done. You're done. It's easy. It's fast. It's convenient. Yes, it happens pretty often. But so what? I mean, it's not like it actually interrupts you. It's not like you have to stop working while the update happens. For other operating systems, you often do have to stop and wait for the update to finish. And once in a while, you have to do that for Linux. You certainly have to do it for your phone or for your tablet or, like that. And Chromebooks, of course, quietly wait. The update becomes available as it is available. And then the next time you reboot your system or you turn it off when you're done and then you start it up again the next day, then it's fine. And it works just great. And the update gets installed automatically. So be aware that updating is an important thing. You need to do it often and regularly. Go ahead.
The first GPS systems had a 10-bit number, so about every 1,000 weeks it would reset. But modern GPS systems have a 13-bit number.
Ooh, baby!
So it only resets every 8,000 weeks.
That's not bad. Well, again, that's because they're using older...
Yep.
Space hardened and reliable chips and for what they do, they don't need to rewrite or have the greatest, latest, best, sexiest, because it works. All right, to the phones. Our next caller, I believe, is Gary from Rochester, New York. Hi, Gary, what's up?
Hi, I don't have a question. I had a comment about a scam of a phishing thing that I opened, and just as a warning to your other listeners, I still use Frontier, Yahoo as an email address, and also as an ISP. And I got an email that said it was from Frontier Communications. And I should have known, but I clicked on it anyway. I usually pass them up before, but I opened it up, and one suspicious thing I should have seen right away, in retrospect, I can tell your listeners about it. It comes from D.C. Pratt. That's lowercase d, as in David, lowercase c, Pratt, at Frontier Communications. But I'm supposed to reply to someone with this email address. Frontier Communications, President George at gmail.com.
Yeah.
that's a good indication that it's fake.
It sure is. And at any rate...
Or they're just acknowledging how bad Frontier Yahoo email is.
Now.
Well,
that was Steve Ray, ladies and gentlemen.
And most of your listeners do, too. At any rate, you open it up, and it says that they want to know your email address, and that's pretty stupid since they sent it to me.
Yeah.
And the second thing they want to know, which is really scary, is what my, not my phone number, but the password, that they want me to give them that.
So, oh, yeah, nice.
Which they also already know.
Yes.
Right.
It's really bizarre. At any rate, forewarned is forearmed.
Good for you, Gary. Good for you for not actually falling for it. But you know what? A lot of people do.
Well, yes. You know, just as Dave Enright says, people get click happy. Oh, an email from Frontier. Think I'll open it. Well,
yep.
I should know better. At any rate, hope your other listeners do too.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, look, people, think when you get an email or you get a pop-up or you know a text message or whatever it happens to be, think twice and then think a third time before you reply. Don't just immediately assume. I know Dave is right. We get click happy because we want to get to something else quickly. But when something pops up like that, we get scared. Oh my heavens, something's bad's happened. I better do this. Think. I had somebody call me in a panic. I got this message. It said there was something wrong with my ESL account, and I had to fix it immediately. They want to know my username and password, but I don't have one for ESL. I'm not on ESL. What do I do? Okay.
Wait, let's really think about this.
Yeah,
know?
Right.
It's interesting.
I get it. You get...
Yep.
I'm not disparaging the person. You panic. I get that. But stop, take two or three or four deep breaths, and think. If you don't have an account at ESL, this can't be real.
And it's almost interesting that the bad guys are now starting to use the sort of smaller banks. Those
right.
scams have been going around for Citibank for years, or SunTrust, which is big in Florida with all the old people that are easily scammed. But now we're seeing I've gotten them from Canandaigua National, one of the local banks here.
Yep.
So I guess you've made the big time when the spammers are using your name.
Yeah. Or there's so much spam for the big guys that other new people
yeah.
are taking littler banks.
Yep.
In order to stand out from the crowd. But yeah, be very aware that people are fishing constantly. I'm at that point where I'm blocking people on my phone constantly. Because now I'm getting personalized email.
Yep.
Hey, Nick.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. No, go away. Stop.
And the bad guys are spoofing phone numbers, so it looks like it comes from your exchange. Or
right.
they're actually using Apple's real tech support number and Microsoft's real tech support number as the call ID.
Because you can fake those.
Yeah. We had a customer get hit by that and got scammed out of thousands of dollars. Because they scared her into thinking there was a problem on her computer and they needed to load the security update. And all we need you to do is go to Walmart and buy some gift cards and then read us the number off the back.
Yeah.
And they kept her on the phone while she did that.
No. People, number one thing to remember, no reputable support company is going to call you. Ever. Number two thing to remember, no reputable support company is going to want gift cards. Those are the two most important things to remember.
Because it's almost impossible to get your money back off a gift card because
right.
it's so easy to steal the money from a gift card.
Right. Right. You were hardly finished reading them the number when they were spending the money.
Yep.
So yeah, be very aware, be very careful of what you do in terms of the of answering those kinds of emails. So be
your question quickly.
Be aware that that's the next thing to deal with.
I like that one viral video going around from a police station that got hit by the IRS scammer.
If you
don't buy iTunes gift cards to pay your IRS bill,
yeah,
the police are going to come and arrest you. Really? The police are going to come here.
Yeah.
To my police station.
Yeah. Which police? Will it be us?
Yeah.
Or will it be different police?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very easy thing these days with computers to send out spam of all kinds. And so you probably get a lot of it, and a lot of it is phishing attempts, people trying to get your information. So be very aware, be very careful, and make sure that you're not really talking to the real people.
Yeah, and just think your company, all of the of your customers, how much manpower would it take for you to call every one of your customers all the time to see if they have a problem?
Right.
Companies just couldn't afford to do that. They can barely afford to have any tech support when you call them.
Right. Microsoft has millions of machines out there, millions, hundreds of millions of people using them, and they can't even afford quality assurance people anymore. How are they going to afford people to call you up and tell you you've got a problem? All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Ed from Canandaigua, New York. Hi, Ed. What's up?
Hey, guys. Good show.
Thanks.
Say, you were just talking a little bit about the updates for the
cell phones.
You know, the iPhones.
Right.
Now, I run an iPhone 7, and I know that's not included in what you were talking about. But for the last couple of weeks, I've had I've noticed that there is an update for me that's 13 dot something. And I have automatic updates, but it keeps telling me that it's going to update that evening, you know, as long as it's plugged in and locked down. And it doesn't update. Now, I'm not sure if this is something that I should be downloading or not.
What usually that means is that there's not enough space free on your device. If you go into settings and then general and then software update, it should tell you why it's not updating, and you can also then manually start the install then.
But if it didn't install because you don't have enough space, then you must clear out some space on your phone before you do the update.
Okay.
And that's obviously email, text messages,
photos
music.
Are the biggest thing, and photos are the things we don't want to clean out.
Right, right, right.
So oftentimes you plug it into your computer, send your photos over to the computer. And actually, if you install the update from your computer, it takes less space on the phone because it doesn't have to hold the 2 or 3 gigabyte installer file and have all the working space for doing the install.
And if you're using Google Photos, then you can erase it from your phone after it's gone up to Google Photos.
You just have to remember to turn off sync.
Right.
Because if you erase it from your phone, it's erased from Google as well.
Right, right, right.
Okay. Now this has to do with the dark screen and a bunch of other things about faster application.
Added dark mode. One of the neat features I just found, because the OS 13 update is relatively new, in the Maps app, there's a share, what do they call it, share ETA. So when you type in a GPS direction somewhere, you can share your location with someone, like the person you're going to meet, so they know when you're going to get there.
Oh, interesting, yeah. Yeah, it looked like a pretty interesting update, but I was just curious about why that wouldn't have automatically updated, and now I guess you've answered that, so I'll take care of that.
There you go.
All right,
check,
guys,
check what the error message is first. But it's almost always not enough space.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Ed.
Yep.
Is that on the Apple Maps or the Google?
I was using Apple Maps, but it's probably both.
Well, because I've had it on Google for...
Yeah, so Google probably already had it through
a long
Google
Maps.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I was going to say, if it was on Google Maps, why wasn't it at parity already?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every now and then I'll get the notice. Now, the other thing they did in OS 13 is they are watching and reporting to you more frequently what apps are using your location in the background without you knowing it, or without you remembering that you turned on location for this app 6 months ago, and it's been using it all the time.
Right.
And so I've now... They're a little annoying, but I start getting messages. Weather has been using your location in the background. Well, that's okay because, you know, I want to know what the weather's going to be.
Right.
But then it pop, Facebook wants to use your Bluetooth.
Oh, yes.
Why does Facebook want my Bluetooth? Oh, it wants to track me. I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I'm going to say no. I took Facebook right off. I don't even have it on my phone.
Yeah.
Our next caller is Larry from Penfield, New York. What's up, Larry?
Hi, guys. Couple questions. First one is, when you're talking about backups, you frequently talk about verifying your backups.
Yep.
But I don't remember ever hearing you say exactly what you do to verify the backups.
Restore something. Restore a file. It's a spot check. It's not a full restoration. There are a couple of things you can do. First, when you do a backup, most software nowadays creates a hash of all the files that it backed up. And then you can do a hash of the backup and compare those two hashes. And if they match, then the likelihood is it's good. But the other thing is, particularly if you're doing some sort of incremental backup or file-by-file backup, pick a random file and restore it and see if it came back fine.
Okay.
It's, you know, that's kind of like the sort of checks they do for everything. You don't check every device. You pull one out of the line and test it.
Right. Okay. Second question, is there any way to run a Windows program on other systems? Like if you have a, in your job, you need to run a particular Windows system, but you want to have a different computer?
Yes, there are a couple of different ways to do it. One is to use the remote desktop and log into an actual running Windows machine. The other thing is, if you're running Linux, for example, you can run, there are emulators you can use. They're more or less useful. You can run a virtual machine if you're on a Mac.
Yeah, same sort of thing. You can run Wine,
right.
Which is a way to run Windows inside another operating system. Wine's a little tricky to install and set up yourself. So there's a commercial program called Crossover,
right,
from Codeweavers. Which is basically Wine all packaged up into a convenient installer to let you run a Windows program on your computer.
That runs on both Linux and on Macs.
Yeah. I just found a new Wine bottler, which is kind of neat, called PlayOn. And I've been using PlayOn to run a couple of the Windows apps for my airplane radios. And and so that installs all the Wine stuff for you, so you can run that Windows app in your Mac program or in your in a Linux program, a computer, so that you can run Windows if you need to.
Right, but Wine and PlayOn works on Macs only.
It might have a Linux version too.
It's unlikely that it wouldn't. I mean,
yeah,
they're so similar. So you've got Wine, you've got Crossover, and you've got PlayOn. So you have choices for running Windows programs on non-Windows systems.
One of the biggest things a lot of people get annoyed about is that if you use a virtual machine, there are commercial VM programs, Parallels, and VMware. There's a free one from Oracle called VirtualBox, but you need to buy your own license of Windows, which is annoying. So if you want to run one program once in a while, you have to buy a license for Windows. But if you're using Wine, then the Wine people are basically converting the Windows calls into Unix calls, and you don't need a license.
Okay, right. But nothing for Chrome, right?
Hold on. We got to take a break. Stay on the line. We'll come back in just a couple of minutes. We're going to be back with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, with Larry from Penfield, and you. It is 30 minutes after the hour. It is Soundbites. It is member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. It's hard to believe that Soundbites has been on the air for 30 years. Nobody's been arrested yet. Join Nick, Dave, and Steve every Saturday from noon till 2 on Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Larry from Penfield still on the line. Now, Larry, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, you were asking about on a Chromebook. And indeed, there is crossover on Chrome OS in the Play Store, but it is still beta, which means it may be a little buggy, but certainly it can't hurt to try it. And it will allow you to run Windows software on a Chromebook using the crossover software from Code Weavers. It's from Code Weavers themselves, and so... It would let you run it. Right now, it depends on what you're trying to run as to how well it'll run. It is still beta, but they are working on it.
On the Code Weavers website, they have a list of known compatible and known incompatible programs.
Oh, that's good. Okay, very good.
There you go.
Thank you, guys.
Yep, thanks.
You can also try alternative.2 or alternative2.net.
Right.
They will find you alternatives to a program in your OS. So instead of running that exact Windows program, you can find a Chrome version.
Right. It depends on why you want to run Windows programs, right? If it's a program that was like written for your company, blah, blah, blah. So, but if it's just a plain piece of software, so for example, you can't easily run Office on a Chromebook. But Google Docs will read and write Office files on Linux and on a Mac. If you want a free alternative to Office, then OpenOffice or better LibreOffice, again, will read and write Windows formatted files.
Right.
So Office formatted files. So that's all available. You just have to find it. Alternative2.net. That's T-O. Alternative2.net. speaking of Microsoft screw-ups, Microsoft has been known to make the occasional misstep when it comes to Windows 10. Whether it's pushing a software update that deletes user files or forcibly introducing unwanted or unnecessary features with the latest version of the OS, they've done it all. And now Microsoft has made yet another mistake in its flagship operating system, albeit a relatively minor one. This time, recently, Windows 10 Home and Pro users throughout the world were treated to an extra update that they weren't supposed to get in the first place. KB4523786, to be precise. This update included several quality improvements to Windows Autopilot devices. If you're wondering what on earth Windows Autopilot is, here's a brief, albeit highly paraphrased, description. Autopilot is a set of business and team-oriented technologies that can set up and pre-configure or reset multiple Windows 10 devices in quick succession. In other words, it's a tool for businesses and IT departments to boost their efficiency by updating, maintaining, or whatever, multiple Windows 10 devices simultaneously. As you may have guessed, Autopilot isn't intended for ordinary users and cannot normally be accessed unless you fulfill a lengthy list of requirements. As such, that KB update, which includes fixes and optimizations for Autopilot, is completely useless for most people. This is hardly the worst mistake Microsoft has made over the last couple of years, but it is the latest example of the potential problems that can arise from Windows as a service business model. To be clear, this update is optional, but for casual users who have simply let Windows Update do its thing thus far, they may find themselves saddled with some unnecessary but mostly insignificant OS bloat. now. Microsoft is aware of the issue and already seems to have fixed it for those who haven't downloaded KB4523786 yet. If you don't see KB4523786 in your Windows Update history, you're in the clear. If it is there, Microsoft says you won't see any adverse impact unless, of course, your hard drive is very, very full. Still happy with Microsoft's updates? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. excuse me. Somebody talk.
As Nick frantically reaches for something to drink.
Is he going to make it?
We don't lose him.
Wow.
You're giving him mouth to mouth, not me.
Yeah, no, thank you. Neither one of you. I have a list you can call. All right, that's an idea, a mouth-to-mouth list. Anyway, we'll go back to the phones now, and we'll talk to Stan from Webster, New York. Hi, Stan, what's up?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I'm curious, you just were talking about some Windows issues here recently. I experienced something with my updates. I have a Windows 10 operating system, and I did recent updates because it was working slow. I tried doing the Tango from your website to make sure everything was optimized. And after I did all that, I noticed that when it rebooted that it eliminated all of my files, my folders, my pictures, things like that. I'm a little confused as to why that might have happened. Maybe it's part of one of the glitches in one of the newer updates. I'm just curious if you guys know anything about that.
Yeah, that was a glitch from a couple of updates ago. Basically, it builds a new user folder for you during the install process, and then it copies all your data into that user folder. And the glitch is it doesn't copy all your data into the new user folder.
Right. The good news is your data are still there. Your files should all still be there.
In a temp directory.
Should be.
Yeah, because one of the things was that when I did the update afterwards, when I tried to log on, it told me that there was an issue with my password, where I read online where some users were having issues with that, and they said once you reboot it, again, after that password issue where it wasn't registering your password, that it should be fine. I did that, but again, I ran into that issue. I mean, I have a backup for my operating system that I usually use, but I was just confused as to why that was all happening.
Yeah, it's just it's a glitch with Microsoft. One of the things you can do is do a search for one of your files, any file you can remember the name of, or star.mp3, or whatever, and it should find it in the folders, the temp folders where the upgrade put them.
Okay.
The only time that's a real problem is if your hard drive is very full, and we that's becoming a recurring nightmare for everyone. If the drive is too full, it cannot back up. It cannot make a second copy of those files, and so sometimes it just deletes them. Which is why you want to have a backup before you do any sort of update or upgrade. It should be available to you. It might be that they are hidden from view. So open up any in the search box on the taskbar there, the search box, what used to be called the Cortana box. You can type the words File Explorer Options. And then you would select, and the pop-up that comes up, select the View tab. And then under Hidden Files and Folders, say Show the Hidden Files, Folders, and Drives. But please, after you've found those things, turn it back off again so you're not tempted to delete things that you don't recognize.
Right.
Because they used to be hidden.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I hope you guys have a great weekend. I hope that you guys celebrate those run balls again later on coming up towards Christmas. And I appreciate all your help.
It's exactly right. The only reason I still tolerate Dave's because he brings rumbles once he. Thanks,
right, guys,
Dan.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye bye.
And that's the technical term.
Yeah, that's right.
You better start marinating them now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Last year they were pretty potent.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, that was just after a week of marinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I started now?
they'd probably fall apart.
I would think they'd start doing funny things in my refrigerator.
Yeah, there's that.
Open the door and you pass out from the fermentation.
For those of you who are new to this, Dave has a rum ball recipe that he's made every Christmas. It is potent.
Thank you.
And those words are in the right order, rum then ball, because there's a lot more rum than there is anything else in that little ball.
Well, you got to have something holding the rum together.
Yeah. That's the only reason that other stuff is there. Otherwise, you're just drinking rum.
Yeah.
They are potent. They are very good, but they are potent. So, yeah, we're all looking forward to those. No pressure.
Right after. No, you know me. I start right after Thanksgiving, start getting into my cooking mode, and I should say baking mode.
Right.
You know, do those and a bunch of other cookies, and I've already got people, even out in Arizona, my in-laws out there in Arizona are putting in their orders. Are we going to get our cookies this year?
Nice.
Hey, it's not even Halloween.
Yeah, right. I sent some to my daughter in Arizona. She likes them. By the way, remember
We'll take care of her.
Thank you. Remember how I said after about 15 minutes on battery, I had 5 hours left?
Mm-hmm.
It's now been half an hour on battery, and I have 10 hours left.
It learns.
So it's still learning. It's still learning. And that's why I'm not too worried about what's been going on with the battery. It takes a while to settle in. And figure out my way of doing things and et cetera.
Well,
et cetera.
Plus, if you do, like you said, a power wash, reset the whole thing,
right,
just to get any firmware updates and all that other stuff.
Right. And nothing has you. Yeah, you're right. Archandra said they should know the salted hash of your password, but not your password. And that's exactly right. But excuse me, I do. I have 10 hours left on my battery. And I am running just one YouTube window and about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, a dozen tabs plus the Google Play Store. And it's talking to my computer or to my phone for messages. One of the things I really like is that I can connect my phone to my Chromebook for text messages.
Yep, that's nice.
Yeah. Well, I had like...
And you can even answer the phone on it.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do all kinds of things.
You happen to be in front of the computer, not the phone.
Right. Well, and I'm, you know... Well,
the phone's off on his charger, and you're there in front of the computer.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that was the issue I was having, that I was texting you on the new 3A. What I had to do was go in and find, you know, the hotspot device and find, you know, I renamed it to a name that made sense to me. And then I had to copy down that password.
Right.
Because that I had to tie into this little device that I have. It's a Pi Zero.
Right.
Because when you can set it up, that it'll automatically connect to that hotspot. But I had to put in the hotspot's name and that very long password.
Right.
So now all I have to do is I turn on that hotspot on my phone. All I do is on the pull down screen, go one to the left. There's the hotspot. Click it. Turns it on, bam, I'm up and running.
Yep.
And the same with the Chromebook.
And having those long passwords is good, but annoying. My daughter's going to be very annoyed. I was kind to her, and I got Disney Plus. So when that comes out on November 12th, yeah, she'll be able to watch everything.
Apple TV Plus started on the first, too. And now a lot of the news stories are, you know, what should you do? Because there's two new services to subscribe to. And what about good old Netflix and Hulu and CBS All Access and the dozen other channels? And so you cancel your cable TV bill and sign up to all these streaming services, and you might end up paying more.
You might. But yeah, I've got that. But the problem is, because I am a little perhaps unreasonable, I have a 56-character password. So my daughter's not going to be happy. What she has to go through, you know, left, down, down, 56
there's
times.
There's a great meme going around about X sharing your Netflix password, and my ex came out of the woodwork. That's after 6 months because I changed my Netflix password. How did he have my password to begin with?
Right.
Well, that's the thing. They said now they're going to start charging.
You're going to crack down
because,
on that more.
Right. What's happening is you know, the parents give it to their kids, say in college. And then they share that password with all their other friends, And they're going, no.
Yeah, we pay for three connections, simultaneous connections to Netflix, and with Disney you get four. So right. we can each do whatever we want
right.
to do.
You're limited, but some of these, right. They're going to start cracking down and charging yep. people because all of a sudden they've got, you know, 10 and 15 people on it, and it's like all these people are getting it for free.
There's geographic yep. restrictions some companies do so that it's nominally supposed to be within the same household, but...
Right. Well, Disney does say it's family.
Family, yeah.
So
yeah.
one of my family is in Arizona. It's my daughter. She's still family. Right. So
Steve's not going like
third cousin twice removed doesn't count.
Yeah, right. Or just because you call them fam doesn't make them family.
Yeah.
But have you read the reviews for C, the Jason Momoa show?
The initial impressions were they were shocked it was so full of violence and sex for an Apple show.
Yeah.
That they were afraid that Apple was going to be too heavy-handed and keep the keep a PG rating.
Yeah, but people are not happy. They don't like it. And that's the problem with any of these new things. You know, if you look at Apple Plus, any of them, but let's start with Apple Plus. What attracts you to paying for that service? One show with Jason Momoa in it? Maybe not.
And that's part of the thing with all the services. They've got the morning show with Steve Carell, Jennifer Aniston, and Reese Witherspoon.
Right.
What's the one about Jane Austen I've heard good reviews of?
Right.
Jane Austen as a young girl. So it's like any TV network. There are radically different shows that may appeal to some people.
Right.
I'm old enough to remember when we got a fourth TV network.
I'm old enough to remember we got a third so one, shut yeah. up.
And there was something to watch. When the president was talking on all three other networks, I had Channel 31 and could watch something else.
How many still remember the test patterns after 11 o'clock?
And the TVs went off the air at night.
Sitting there watching the test pattern, waiting for Captain Kangaroo to come on.
Yeah.
Yep.
But at any rate, the same thing now with the Disney Plus. If you don't have kids... Now you better be a Star Wars fan and or a Marvels fan and hope that they're showing the movies you want to see because they're not all going to be available day one. Or you really want The Mandalorian plus whatever else they're showing, right? I mean, at what point do you stop and say, this isn't worth it for me yet? Do I wait another year when more stuff is available?
Well, I can't wait. I figure probably before Thanksgiving...
Yeah.
I'm finally going to have green light. Yes! Been waiting and so envious of you. How many years have you had it now?
SOB? Since 2015, 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, their corporate offices are next door to you, right?
Yeah, no.
That's how you got it so
not
early?
Not that nearby. That's right.
Well, they're just finishing up. I just got the notice that they're finishing up, wrapping up this week with mine, and they're going to be coming through and hooking up to the homes. And I go, yes! Can't wait.
I will tell you, what you learn when you have green light is what other systems at the other ends are slow. Because some stuff comes down ridiculously fast, and then you wait for other things, and you know it's not you, and you know it's not your connection, so it's got to be their server.
Well, I can't wait to lower my bill.
Right.
And get 500 meg.
Right. For less money than you're paying now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Something's wrong there. You're getting faster for cheaper?
Yeah, and then I've been getting numerous mailings from a particular company. You can do this, this, and this, and it's like... let me think about this. No.
Oh, wait, I've already thought about it. Yeah.
Get a lot more for a lot less. I can handle that. No problem.
Right. But it's a thing. And many people are cutting the cord. And one of the things that makes me angry is they do these. If you got all the services, it would cost you more than cable. Well, that's true. But you don't need all the services. You know, you don't need five services that all give you over-the-air
stuff. Like I said, it's been 4 years for me since I cut the cord, and I get Sling. And with that, I've gotten everything plus what I was paying a heck of a lot more with back with Time Warner Cable.
Right. All right, we're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. Let me just take a moment to thank all those of you who were so generous and became members of Jazz 90.1 and the Soundbites family and helped us reach our goal. We are honored and delighted that all of you are members. Thank you. We're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. It's 55 minutes after the hour. You've been listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites, right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in 166 hours. Be good.